You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Museums and libraries around the country hold between 300 and 600,000 Native American human remains in their collections. In 1990, the federal government passed the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, known as NAGPRA. This law required certain Native American remains to be handed over to culturally affiliated tribes or provable descendants, but by no means did that law result in all of those human remains being given back. My guests today are part of a team that came up with a special way to explain the tribal repatriation experience. It's a comic book titled Journeys to Complete the Work and Changing the Way We Bring Native American Ancestors Home. Sonia Atalay is here with us now. She's an archaeologist and a professor of anthropology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, a member of the National NAGPRA Committee, and author of this comic book. Sonia, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we welcome Shannon Martin, who directs the Zibawing Center of Anishinaabe Culture and Lifeways here in Michigan. She is Gun Lake Potawatomi and Ojibwe. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Miigwech. I'm happy to be here.
Sonia, before the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act was passed in 1990, what avenues, what options existed for tribes trying to bring their ancestors home for burial?
Well, the main thing that they could do was try to develop relationships and talk to and make pleas to, really, museums that held their ancestors. There was nothing formal. There was no law by which they could make that happen. So it was that relationship that mattered. And as we know, that very often did not happen. That just was not the case, that they were able to bring their ancestors home.
I'd like to follow up on that as well. And prior to the 1990 NAGPRA law, our sacred sites, burial grounds, were still being compromised. They were being desecrated and excavated professionally through various universities or private archaeological firms were sent in to do this type of desecration. And prior to that, even into the 1930s, 40s, 50s, some of our mounds here in the Midwest were excavated, they were opened up, and they were roadside attractions where you could pay 5 cents or 10 cents to pull off the side of the road and look into an open mound, earthen pit, to see burials of our ancestors.
Sonia, what did the law do? What did NAGPRA do?
Well, the law put in place several provisions that require people to consult with tribes so that they couldn't just simply, you know, excavate whatever they wanted to do. Now, that doesn't mean that those processes have stopped. What Shannon's talking about, for example, it's not that graves still aren't being excavated. They can be. And in fact, that's one of the things that we try to bring up in the work that we've done, which one of the important pieces of this is cultural affiliation. If archaeologists or state and federal agencies are required to consult, they're able to determine who it is that they should be consulting with. And as Native people, we can think, well, you should be consulting broadly with anyone who may have an affiliation with those ones who are buried in a particular place. But unfortunately, it's up to them to determine who it is that they're consulting with that they think there could be a connection or affiliation with. So we'd like to see state, federal agencies, institutions consulting broadly. Otherwise, they could just say, well, there's no one who's affiliated with these peoples, so we're just going to go ahead and excavate. And so that's a really important piece of this puzzle that we think about how connections and affiliations look today.
Shannon, in the belief sense, explain the importance of returning ancestors to Mother Earth. And I'm particularly interested in what is the last giveaway ceremony.
Well, the last giveaway ceremony for us is the gift of our vessel, our body, the experience that we walked on this earth that carried our spirit, giving that back to Mother Earth to honor her for all that she gave to us.
That's interrupted when somebody's remains are in a library or a museum.
Exactly. It's interrupted. And that's why for Anishinaabe people, it's so important for us to retrieve our ancestors. And it's work many of us do from different tribal nations throughout the Great Lakes. It's something we do every day. We work on this every day.
And this comic book that you've put out It tells the story of the transformation of a museum that was very resistant to returning remains and traveling items, artifacts. And it was the University of Michigan's Museum of Anthropological Archaeology in Ann Arbor. So what happened when the university was approached?
Between 2005 and 2008, we were requesting the return from three sites here in Michigan that were within the Aboriginal territory of the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan. Those sites were the Rivera Voss site, the Bussinger site, and the Young site. We spent nearly 3 years with a consultation documentation grant from the National Park Service. So this grant was able to fund us to assemble a team of experts like Dr. Adelai, as well as tribal historians and spiritual elders, to come together to provide a justification. And we worked very diligently in researching and putting together our justification and providing the documentation that was needed under the law and through the consultation documentation funding. We presented the information, 2.5 years of extensive research by our team, and within 2 months we received a letter that rejected our claim, stating that the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan has no contemporary or modern day, we feel no modern connection to these ancestors. So therefore, you know, the university has rejected your claim for repatriation.
Was that initial U of M resistance typical or atypical?
Unfortunately, that initial resistance is quite typical. You would think, you would hope that the response would be, yes, how can we do this? What can we do? How can we work together to right this wrong? But unfortunately, that is not the case. Very often, institutions think of themselves as the stewards over these types of ancestral remains and these items.
And so they feel we need to hang on to these. We can't see them scattered to the winds or whatever. We need to know.
Yes, in fact, and I'll give the example of the other case in the comic was with Harvard University, and one of the comments that we received from the institution was, well, we are a museum after all, right? It's our job to hold, to store, to keep. And I think there are other institutions and that are now leading the way to say, no, that isn't the case. There can be other roles for museums, and we see that with the turnaround of the University of Michigan.
Let's talk about that turnaround, because that's really the centerpiece of this story. Shannon, how and why did the university's attitude change?
Well, it changed because we had to force it to change. Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan, with its tribal council and PR department, took a pretty firm stance that University of Michigan needed to hear from us, needed to hear our claim, because one or two individuals made the decision to reject our claim for the ancestors. So we decided to attend a Board of Regents meeting, get on their public commentary. Our PR director read a very impassioned statement to the Board of Regents, and we staged a press release and honor songs and elders saying and said prayers before we went into the Regents at the Cube. So the press was there. We released a statement talking about what the University of Michigan had done to the tribe and its fair and unjust treatment regarding NAGPRA. And we hoped that one regent or two regents would feel our pain, feel mm-hmm. our hardship in trying to do the right thing by our ancestors. And one or two did. And things began to change. A committee was put into place to investigate the relationship between the museum and Michigan tribes and other tribes. And from that point on, the person who was in charge of the Great Lakes collection was removed from his responsibility, and things started to move.
And as you point out in Journeys to Complete the Work, the University of Michigan is now like leading the pack in terms of returning items and remains. If you've just joined us, we are talking about the Journeys to Complete the Work and changing the way we bring Native American ancestors home, all about returning the remains of ancestors to their tribe so they could be properly buried. I'm talking with Shannon Martin, who is with the Zibuwing Center. She directs it, the Zibuwing Center of Anishinaabe Culture and Lifeways here in Michigan, and Dr. Sonia Atelay, who's a professor of anthropology and an archaeologist at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and author of the comic book. So you tell this story in a comic book. Sonia, why a comic book?
Well, actually, some of the base of what I do is community-based research, which is just sitting down, working with communities, and finding out the kind of scholarship that they'd like us to do as academics. And I did this work in Turkey at a 9,000-year-old site that I worked at called Çatalhöyük. And when I went into people in the local village nearby there, a little village called Küçükköy, and I talked with local people who are mostly farmers, I said, well, what kind of things would you like to do? How would you like to learn about this 9,000-year-old site that's literally in your backyard? And one of the things they had talked about was that they would like comics to learn about it. And it made a lot of sense in that way. They said they were for their children, but what was really interesting was there's a pretty low literacy rate in these villages. A lot of the girls and boys don't have the ability to go to school beyond third grade. So for adults to learn about the site, of course, I'm not going to hand them a scholarly published article or a book. Comics were the perfect venue. There's visuals, and then the text is fairly minimal. So I worked with one of the other co-authors of the comic, John Swager, who was the illustrator on that site of Çatalhöyük, and we came up with a whole series of comics at that site. So I always say I can't claim this idea. It literally came from people in these villages. And it was actually during my work on the National NAGPRA Review Committee where I saw tribes coming forward struggling with really trying and fighting to reclaim their ancestral remains. It just occurred to me on that committee that this would be a really powerful and useful way to kind of mobilize that knowledge, get the knowledge out there.
So, Sonia, who did you write it for? As you authored this comic book, who did you have in mind as your reading audience?
I had a whole range of people. I mean, of course, in my mind, I was thinking, well, it could be for museums. It could be for students. I was hoping tribal nations would find it useful, but this has found success actually beyond my wildest dreams. And I actually kind of joke saying, I wish my book or any of the other scholarly things that I've written were getting this much interest, thousands and thousands of copies being ordered, people using it across the nation to teach NAGPRA in their classrooms. And I think that's fantastic, these kind of engaged ways of getting knowledge out there. It's amazing to see how much interest there's been, and international interest as well.
And there it is, NAGPRA Comics number one, right? So it means that there's more to come. What was it about the Michigan story that made this the perfect vehicle, the perfect way to tell the story?
Well, the Michigan story, it was a difficult journey at first. NAGPRA and the spirit of the work, when it's done in true mutual respect, consultation, it can transform communities, it can transform an institution, and that's what it has done. And we believe the ancestors have helped compel that transformation, because now we are working together with the museum currently on developing a Black Ash Basket exhibition where we're going to share our collections, and students are going to work with the Zeebonk Center to design and develop that exhibition. We are also working with the Matai Botanical Gardens and with the museum and looking at repatriating ancestral heirloom seeds to try to grow them out and rematriate them back into our communities. There are some seeds within the ethnographic collections that are about 100 years old. So we would be possibly reintroducing some new food source ancestral seeds into the community. So, I mean, the opportunities that are beginning to emerge when we are working together with mutual respect are just endless, and it's exciting work that the tribes are doing with the University of Michigan now.
And late last year, there was a recommitment to the Earth ceremony, so the ancestors were brought home?
Yeah, we brought one site, the Gary site, home from the University of Michigan, and this was probably, I would say, since the adversarial relationship in 2000, you know, 5, 6, and 7, this was probably the fifth ancestral repatriation that we've accomplished together. And, you know, the work to effectuate these repatriations, it does take a long time because you're following a process, you're following a federal law. And this past repatriation was probably, we saw the largest delegation from the University of Michigan attend. About 20 people from U of M came up to Mount Pleasant to participate with us in the full day of ceremony and recommitment of these ancestors back into the earth.
Now, are there more to come?
There are more. We're about halfway done. The Michigan tribes working together under an organization called the Michigan Anishinaabe Cultural Repatriation and Protection Alliance. That alliance has been in existence since early 2000s. late 90s, and working together with the University of Michigan, we're about halfway done. Their collections were extensive, one of the largest in the country. Just from Michigan, well over 1,600 to 1,700 ancestors were here and were pulled out of Michigan alone.
Sonia, when I think of that staggering number, that 300,000 to 600,000 Native American human remains, and that could be a conservative guesstimate, isn't it? Is having a prominent institution like the University of Michigan kind of at the forefront of this, will that spread? Will that help spread across the country?
Well, that's certainly the hope. And that's part of the hope of the comic is that rather than to say, sometimes people have said, well, we can't get back these materials. It closes the door to research. That's what NAGPRA does. That's what repatriation does. It means the door is closed. We can't do any more research. And in fact, what we're trying to show with that comic, as Shannon was articulating, is that, in fact, this opens the door to research, but it's research that's done in a different way, work that's done in collaboration with tribes and in partnership, you know, things that matter and they can make a difference in Native communities' daily lives. So hopefully an institution like the University of Michigan taking such a prominent leadership role nationally and internationally to show how this can be done. And look what it's done. It opens the door to these amazing research projects that are really and truly cutting edge.
I'm actually flipping through Journeys to Complete the Work, looking at you guys, your comic avatars. What was that like when you first opened this book and went, oh, my word, here I am. Here's Shannon Martin. And here's what was that like for you guys?
It's amazing. It's humbling also, you know, for us to be part of the story and being featured in the comic. It is very humbling, but also, you know, it gives young people somebody, a face and a name and a real person to look up to say, hey, you know, if I'm looking at going into anthropology or archaeology or museum studies and doing this type of work and bringing my ancestors home, they have somebody that they can relate to.
Well, it's eye-opening. You don't have to be a museum person or a university person or a member of a tribe to read it and really, really have your eyes open. And we have put up the link so you too can view this comic book, Journeys to Complete the Work and Changing the Way We Bring Native American Ancestors Home. You can find it on the stateside page at michiganradio.org. And we've been talking with Dr. Sonia Atalay from the University of Massachusetts Amherst and Shannon Martin, Zibuwing Center of Anishinaabe Culture and Lifeways here in Michigan. Thank you so much.
Miigwech. Thank you very much.
Miigwech. Thanks for your time and interest.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.